Trump is escalating conflicts with former Republican allies, calling Mitch McConnell an angry man and a bad guy from the Oval Office, while also targeting Lisa Murkowski. These aren't private grievances, they're public breaks with senators who will be crucial for advancing Trump's legislative agenda.
The timing is strategically puzzling. Trump needs Senate Republicans for judicial confirmations, defense spending approvals, and other key priorities. Publicly attacking McConnell, who still wields significant influence despite stepping down as Republican leader, creates unnecessary political obstacles for his own agenda.
The attacks reflect Trump's broader pattern of prioritizing personal grievances over political strategy. McConnell's criticism of Trump after January 6th clearly still rankles, but maintaining this conflict serves no practical purpose for advancing conservative policy goals. It's emotional politics overriding strategic calculation.
Meanwhile, Trump is demanding Congress expel Representative Jamie Raskin, calling the Maryland Democrat a bum and loser. This connects to broader efforts by Trump allies to pursue symbolic resolutions expunging his two impeachments. The focus on settling scores from his first term continues to dominate his second-term agenda.
The expulsion demand has no realistic chance of success, but serves to rally Trump's base around grievance narratives. Expelling a House member requires a two-thirds vote, which would need substantial Democratic support. It's performative politics designed to generate headlines rather than achieve legislative outcomes.
Internal DOJ emails reveal officials called the Garland School Board memo stupid, providing insight into bureaucratic resistance to politically sensitive policies. This kind of internal criticism rarely becomes public and suggests significant discord within the Justice Department during the transition between administrations.
The emails matter because they show career DOJ officials were skeptical of policy decisions that became major political controversies. The school board memo, which directed federal resources toward investigating threats against school board members, was criticized by conservatives as weaponizing federal law enforcement against parents.
The internal criticism validates concerns that some DOJ policies were driven more by political considerations than legal ones. When career prosecutors and agents privately call policies stupid, it suggests the department may have been pursuing politically motivated investigations rather than following standard legal procedures.
Related to this, reports indicate Trump officials are quietly assuring allies about payouts from the $1.776 billion anti-weaponization fund, even though DOJ lawyers told courts the fund has been scrapped. This creates a contradiction between public legal positions and private political commitments.
The fund was designed to compensate individuals who claimed they were targeted by politically motivated federal investigations. The legal contradiction is significant. If DOJ lawyers are telling courts the fund doesn't exist, while administration officials are promising payouts, it could constitute misleading the court.
Trump allies are turning to a 1946 law to pay January 6th defendants, suggesting alternative legal theories for providing financial support. The 1946 Federal Tort Claims Act allows compensation for government wrongdoing, but applying it to January 6th cases would require establishing that federal law enforcement acted improperly.
The legal strategy faces significant hurdles. January 6th defendants were prosecuted through normal criminal procedures with standard due process protections. Claiming federal tort liability would essentially argue that legitimate prosecutions constituted government wrongdoing, which courts are unlikely to accept.
The DOJ Civil Division reports it has no records of Trump's claimed IRS settlement, adding another layer to questions about the former and current president's financial arrangements with federal agencies. This lack of documentation is unusual for tax settlements, which typically generate extensive paperwork.
Tax settlements with public figures are usually well documented, specifically to avoid later disputes about terms or amounts. The absence of records either suggests no settlement occurred, or that any arrangement was handled through unusual channels that didn't generate standard documentation.
Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is broadening her appeal beyond her liberal base ahead of 2028, positioning for either a presidential or Senate bid by courting independents and even Trump voters on local issues. This represents a significant strategic shift for a politician who built her brand on progressive activism.
The repositioning reflects electoral math. New York's changing demographics and her own political ambitions require appealing to moderate voters who might support progressive economic policies, but are skeptical of cultural liberalism. She's essentially trying to separate economic populism from social progressivism.
AOC's strategy mirrors successful progressive politicians in red states who focus on kitchen table economics rather than culture war issues. By emphasizing healthcare, infrastructure, and jobs, she could potentially appeal to Trump voters who support populist economics but voted Republican for cultural reasons.
California Senate Democrats are threatening to stall Governor Newsom's agenda over climate funds, with the June 15th budget deadline approaching. Senate Democrats are blocking key Newsom priorities unless carbon market revenue guarantees are restored.
The internal Democratic conflict reflects broader tensions between climate policy ambitions and fiscal realities. Carbon market revenues have been less predictable than expected, making it difficult to fund long-term climate programs. Senate Democrats are essentially demanding more certain funding mechanisms for environmental priorities.